Hey guys, it's Beth. You're listening to the Remorseless Podcast. This is episode number 38. Okay, guess what? Big news. On this episode, we have a former NFL player. And when I first found out that somebody from the NFL, who once played in the NFL, wanted to become on the show, I'm like, that's cool. I wonder what the outside chance is that this person would have played for my absolute favorite team of all time ever, the Cleveland Browns. Thinking, nah, probably not. But guess what? I was wrong, because there is a God, and Sterling Harris did in fact play for the Cleveland Browns. So on this episode, you guys are going to be introduced to Sterling, and you're going to hear about what happened to him in the course of his journey, right? So he was this incredible high school football standout, like this an incredibly good dude, right? A letterman, a straight A student, a kind human being, like really just this good guy who could play some football. So after graduation, he signed an NFL contract with the Cleveland Browns, but he suffered a broken foot during his rookie season. So he battles back from the injury. The Browns sent him to Europe, to NFL Europe, where he played and started at the offensive tackle position, but he was forced into early retirement because this foot injury that he suffered would not go away. After only his second year in the NFL, you guys, think about this. Think about how gifted anybody who plays for the NFL must be, is. And then all of a sudden you can't do it. How many of us have been in situations where the thing that we are meant to do, that we are really, really good at, is just taken away from us? And then what happens? We have a choice to make. Sterling has learned to overcome adversity, literally, you guys, by seeking God's will for his life. But it was not the second that he came back to the States. No siree, Bob, Bill, or Sterling. It was not that. It was like many of us. It was, I'm going to drink. I'm going to party. I'm going to have a good time. I'm going to like live it up and then pretend that this aching, nagging hole in my psyche, in my spirit, can be filled up by all this other stuff, money and cars and fancy schmancy stuff, whatever, right? And he finally realized, Sterling finally realized, that is not it. That is not it. So once he recognized that and he truly began to listen to God speak, man, did his life change. So that is what we're talking about on the show. I cannot wait for you guys to meet Sterling Harris. He's just this really, really cool guy that I hope to stay in long-time touch with. And I don't know if he's got, you know, seats on the 50, but Browns are pretty good this year. So at any rate, please do me the honor of welcoming Sterling Harris to the show. For joining us today on Remorselessly Biblical. We're really glad you're here.
Hey, Miss Beth, it's good to be on here for sure, man. It's been a minute for us to actually connect, but yep. We made it.
We did. And it was like, okay, Central time zone, Eastern time zone, different day. Thought it was this day, but this is how, with perseverance, right, we actually get things done.
That's right.
Yeah. So, you know, if I can just start out by having our viewers and listeners learn a little bit about you. I was personally, as you know, happy to learn about you when Julie connected us, because she's like, hey, just, I have Sterling. He wants to talk. He's going to talk about God. He's going to share. He used to play in the NFL. So here's me going, I hope he played for the Browns. That's legit. You did.
I did.
I told you, I grew up in Northeast Ohio. I'm a Browns, Cavs, Indians, and Buckeyes fan. And I thought, well, there's a lot of NFL teams. So like, that's where I go. But I'm like, yeah, you probably didn't. And I'm like, there is a God. We know this. So if you can just start sharing a little bit about your journey and how you came through perhaps the NFL and how just you ended up where you are today.
Well, Beth, my story in a nutshell is I've tried everything there is under the sun, good, bad, and indifferent. And without an intimate connectedness, personal relationship with Jesus, religion won't do, philanthropic won't do, clubbing and partying won't do. You can put whatever you want to, businesses, making money, whatever you want to in that space, football, NFL, but there's a void in your heart that only God's presence and an abiding daily relationship with him is in your soul, in your spirit. And there's a place that will only be filled by that abiding relationship with Jesus. That's my testimony in a nutshell. Now, how I got to all that is I had my first encounter with God when I was 12 years old, and I kind of grew up in the church, which sometimes is the issue. People are like, well, I grew up in the church. And I'm like, well, that might be your issue.
That's right. Yep.
Because, you know, where you have people, you have dysfunction. And where you have religion, you have even more dysfunction. So it's one of those things. As I grew up in a very kind of religious mindset, meaning working harder, doing better, trying to be a good person, trying to get God to love us. And I thought like the best thing you could do was be like a deacon in your church. Like that's when you were declared righteous, is when everybody thought you're an amazing person. And I didn't even know that when I accepted Christ, that he actually made me his righteousness. And I have the same access to God as Jesus had when he walked on this earth. Now that's hard. That was hard for me to believe when I came to that revelation after 15 years of being a Christian and living in what I call white knuckle Christianity. I mean, I'm just working as hard as I can, trying to be a good person, trying to just make it right. And try to do the best I can, not knowing that there's an abiding relationship where you can be led by the Holy Spirit and where you can hear God's voice in different ways every day of your life. And when I came to that revelation, there hasn't been a time in over a decade now that I have not heard God's voice personally for myself on a daily basis in some type of fashion or way. Now, when I was 12 years old, I didn't know all these things that I know now. And I talk a lot about and let people know and not a lot about. It's your filter and your perceptions and your definitions and the models that you follow, that's what you will interpret the Bible and how good God is and who God is based on those filters or that those definitions that you had. Now, at the time, I just knew God as like a taskmaster, and I just knew him as like this God up in heaven, and if you messed up, he'd zap you, and if you don't want to go to hell, you should give your life to him.
Yeah. Yeah. And remind me, did you also grow up Catholic? Is this why you had that?
No, I didn't. I grew up in the Church of Christ, and wow. God bless them. They're saved, going to heaven, love Jesus. At the same time, there's more. There's more light than the light that their original doctrine walks in. And that's kind of where I'll leave it, because I found life there and I found a relationship with Jesus there on the surface, but I had to go deeper with him to find and had to go other places and drink out of other rivers and other teachings to change the perception and change the filters that I had about who God really is and how much access, VIP access, you really have to him. Yes. And so at this time at 12 years old, I just threw up like a Hail Mary prayer, which in football, you'd know at the end of the game, you just throw it up and you're down by 6 points or 5 points. And if you guy catches it in the end zone, touchdown, you win. If he doesn't, you lose.
Yep.
And I just threw up this Hail Mary prayer and saying, you know, God, there's friends around me that are giving their lives to Jesus, but I don't want to do this because of what they're doing or pressure from my family or to the social norm to fit in the church environment. I want to know that you want a personal relationship with me. And at this time, Beth, I had zero context for the supernatural, did not have any expectations. All I knew is that I wanted to know for myself that God was real and that he loved me and he wanted a relationship with me at 12 years old. And so I woke up the next morning with a feeling of peace and serenity and comfort that I'd never felt before. And I just knew in my heart that God was saying yes to my question, I'm real, and yes, I want a personal relationship with you. So back then I didn't know that was God's voice speaking to me, but so God speaks kinetically. It was a kinetic feeling that I had. God speaks all through pictures in your mind. Like I saw myself with Jesus and I just knew that he was saying like, hey, I want you to be with me. And I had this flow of thoughts that was inside of me that was confirming the prayer that I prayed. This was an answer to that. And so many times God speaks to people, but they don't have the language, context, or definitions to recognize his voice. And as you do, it's so subtle that so many times people chalk it up to luck, coincidence, chance, or just themselves talking to themselves.
That's right. That's so good. And I think that what you said about church too, and just the way that you grew up, there's so much to that, because they will give us a almost like a glimpse, right? Like this is kind of who God is, this is what you should be on the lookout for, but they don't complete the rest of that story. And so that, to your point, when we do hear the inkling and, you know, our inner voice, and so many people say it's those things, it's not God, because we were, at least I was not taught in Catholic Church that God speaks to us in that way. I was only taught God speaks to us in, if you don't follow these rules, you're going to hell. That's the only way I thought God was speaking to me. And I was also a performance-based acceptance kind of girl. So that's what I took from your, when you started to talk to us and you were sharing, and you're like, you know, I wanted to put my head down. I wanted to be a good person. I wanted to do all these things. Because that's also the message that oftentimes the church will teach, is that if you do these things and you stay on the right path, then you are accepted. And if you don't do those things, conversely, like, well, we don't know about the rest of the story, but it's not good, you know? And therefore, we discount ourselves and we stop listening. We stop listening for the still small voice, or perhaps the big inkling. We just stop in general because we're uncertain. We don't know what to believe. And I think that that's really what you're getting at, is like, how do we hear God's voice and believe it's His? Right.
And that's the thing that I believe is so untaught in Christianity today. Yes. Is just the rubber meets the road practicality in how you hear God's voice for yourself. So we kind of define God's active voice is what God is actively saying to you now. And for those who would say, well, God doesn't speak anymore, but you have the Bible. But Jesus would differ from you if you read your Bible.
That's right.
He said that it's better that I leave and then I go so I can send the Holy Spirit, and He'll take what's mine and declare it to you. And declare denotes communication, a two-way communication with the Holy Spirit. So the Bible doesn't tell you where you need to move or if you need to take your next job. The Bible gives you some kind of framework, but you need the Holy Spirit to really actually apply the Bible to your life and actually make it part of you and transform your mind, where you begin to think God thoughts and you begin to be directed by the Holy Spirit within you. Now, God will use the word. The word is super important. At the same time, that's not all we have. There's a whole piece and mechanism called the Holy Spirit, the person of the Holy Spirit, that's supposed to connect you with the word, where you become the word of God and God begins to speak to you through the word. And so Jesus modeled this in His life. Jesus didn't just come to die for our sins, which I had God in this box. And, you know, you can't fit God in the whole universe, but we often try to fit Him in this box, right?
That's right.
So I put Him in this box that God can, you know, God can only speak or only can do it this way. But when you look at the life of Jesus, He modeled an internal communication with God. So that looked a lot of different ways for Him. But the three main categories that we see Jesus model is, Jesus said, I can only do what I see the Father doing. And we define this as inner visual communication. Maybe it's a scene that plays in your mind. Maybe you see a sentence in your mind, a word in your mind. Maybe you get a mental picture. And people say, I had a vision. What does that mean? They super spiritualize it, and it's really practical. God is using your imagination, which He created, and He's showing you mental images and mental pictures of things that are either literal or figurative in their meaning. For example, there's sometimes I'll be praying about what to do about something, and then God will show me a scene from a prior decision I made that's like this one. And I'll have this mental picture, and then I'll have an inner knowing of, okay, I need to apply the kind of decision I made to this situation now. And that flow of thoughts is the second thing. Jesus said, I can only say what I hear the Father saying. So that's a deal that we call that like the internal dialogue, the inner audible communication. And this often looks like a flow of thoughts that are wiser than the thoughts that you would think. So when God was speaking to me in this situation, it was a flow of thought that sounded like the voice of my own conscience, but it came with a flow and a peace and a wisdom to it that wasn't my own. Now, how do I differentiate between my voice and His voice? It's experiential based knowledge. If my mom calls me and my caller ID is not working, because of the intimate knowledge I have of her, I'll recognize her voice. So the way that you do that with Jesus is you practice. I live a lifestyle of hearing God's voice every day. And nobody's 100%. I think Jesus was the only person that was 100% of the time. Everybody else is just like the Bible says, you know, we know in part and we prophesy, meaning that we are in a two-way dialogue with God. That's what prophesying means. It means that you hear God's voice and he hears yours. You're in a two-way dialogue. That's really what being prophetic means. It's like super simple, but people over-spiritualize it. And prophetic is not a gift. People in the charismatic community, they're like, well, you know, my wife's prophetic and she hears God, but, you know, not so much.
Yeah.
That prophetic is not a gift. Prophetic means that you're in a two-way dialogue with God. And if you're a born-again believer, congratulations, you're prophetic. You should be in a two-way dialogue with God.
Yeah.
Because if you're in a relationship and you're not in a two-way dialogue, I would probably... Most people would venture to say, you're not really in a good relationship.
You're not in one at all. You're in a singular relationship, right? Because you can't, how can you possibly, even with our earthly people, be in a relationship and there's no communication?
Those
often don't work.
The police have a word for that, Beth. It's called stalking.
I love it. It's very true.
It's very true.
Unrequited love. Yes.
Exactly. And then in this case, Beth, I had a inner peace that was saying, yes, what you're seeing in your mind and what you're sensing through this flow of thoughts. Yes, this is what I'm saying. And that's the third way that we know Jesus was communicating with the Father, was a kinetic feeling. And this could be a lack of peace or an overwhelming sense of peace. It can be a lot of times I'll pray and I'll get chill bumps from the top of my head down my back. And I know this is a confirmation of, it's like a yes from God. And then there's sometimes that I'll be making a decision and literally I'll smell either like a fragrance that's like very pleasing, or sometimes I'll be making a decision and I literally smell a fragrance that's like, it's like sulfur. It doesn't smell good. And there's been times that I've been making business decisions and I started to smell that and I was like, that is so weird. But I started to press into it because I was like, nobody else around me was smelling it.
Yeah.
And I knew it was like spiritual, but I wasn't really sure. I was like, God, really? And God was showing me that the decision that I was going to make was about a certain business decision. It wasn't his best for what I was doing. So I ended up, based on a kinetic sense I was getting, and God will use your five senses to speak through you, like speak to you kinetically. So Jesus modeled these three categories in the way that he communicated with the Father. And it's so subtle, people will be like, really, sir? Is that God's voice? And I'll be like, that's one of the ways that God speaks actively. Now, God speaks through visions, through dreams, through signs and circumstances. He speaks through other believers. He speaks through the Bible. There's oftentimes people read their daily devotional and it'll speak to their heart in a way that it will connect with what they have going on in their circumstances that day. Mm-hmm. I've been reading Jesus Calling by Sarah Young for years, and it always hits me in a different way because my circumstances are different.
Right.
So that's an example of God speaking to you. But if you don't have the right language definitions and the right expectation of God to speak with you, and you don't begin to celebrate the little things and celebrate him, it has his voice, by just way of non-use or kind of rejecting it, the Bible says that your heart gets hardened and gets calloused. And that's where I was for so many years of my Christian life, is I did not know that God wanted an everyday relationship with me. To me, that was totally foreign. I was like, there's 7 billion people on this earth. Like, I mean, how does God have time for all of us?
Right. And I was like, it's like Santa Claus, right? Like, how does Santa fly around the whole universe and get everything in the chimneys at the, you know, 11th hour. So would you say though, Sterling, when I heard you say that, when you said like for a lot of your years of Christianity, that's kind of how you felt, was that coming from a place maybe of you felt like unworthy or like undeserving? Perhaps you didn't, you know, the other 7 billion people deserve to be in relationship and hear God, but maybe you didn't. Sometimes on the show, a lot of people will share with us that they just have made decisions in their lives that have rendered them so stuck on their journeys or so remorseful. Like they're like, I lost my last chance at a relationship with God. So I'm just going to like call it good. And I don't feel like I can see him and go to him in a way that feels good anymore. Do you know what I mean?
Absolutely. Unworthiness is something that I've struggled with since I was a kid because of kind of a volatile relationship me and my earthly father had. And a lot of those insecurities and unworthiness I projected on my relationship with God, and I actually projected in my relationship with other people. Like, if I'm not good enough for my dad, and I didn't know I was communicating this, it was a subconscious thinking. And when I started to get some therapy and started to kind of do some self-discovery, I started realizing that I kept having the statement come up that I'll show them, I'll prove them wrong. And I was thinking, like, it's me against the world. I have this drive, and it drove me to succeed in a lot of ways, but it also led me to some super unhealthy behavior and this constant kind of back and forth. And even when I achieved, I couldn't enjoy what I achieved. Yeah. So I'm the kind of person that'd be in the room full of people. Like, there was a time that there would be 500 to 1,000 people at my birthday party, yet I felt all alone. And I needed to either numb out with drugs or alcohol. Yeah. And it was weird because all the people around me that didn't know me that well, they were thinking, well, this guy's got, you know, 6-figure paying income, got the big car, the big watch, the big house. Like, you know, this guy's got it all together. But I know plenty of people like that. And that's the one thing that when I really came to the end of myself is I looked around at my friends that had, you know, $50, $100 million, $200 million. And they had the same issues that I had, a lack of peace and unfulfillment, but we just went on kicks, like a car kick, a jewelry kick, a travel kick, you know, whatever your kick is. And we just used so many things. I used food. I used mindless TV. I mean, I used a lot of things to fill that void in my heart of loneliness. And the whole time I'm saved, going to heaven, serving at my church, like doing all these things. But there was this loneliness inside of me because we were all built to connect on a daily basis with God. That's why social media has just taken off, because we were all built to connect with people. And even on social media, you feel somewhat type of connection with people that you follow or people that follow you. And so it's one of those things that innately we were built for connection with God. And if you don't connect and worship God, you'll try to connect and worship other things.
Yes, that's right. Amen to all that, because we're so used to it. What you said resonates with each and every one of us, because each and every one of us do it. And we have our different sort of kicks, like you said. Sometimes, you know, for me, for a long time, it was I equated my relationship with being abandoned in relationships to God. Well, if I can't keep a boyfriend or a husband or pick a person, right, that I'm in a relationship with, if this man, and I viewed man as equating to God growing up, that was the picture that they showed me in Catholic church. I'm like, well, I guess he's gonna roll too. He doesn't want to hang out with me because I'm not good enough, or I didn't look a certain way, act a certain way, say the right thing. So there was all this inherent pressure and stress that I would put upon myself. And the way that I sort of worked my way out of that was in fact by doing and doing and doing and never slowing down and never just thinking anything was ever going to be good enough. I crossed the finish line of a marathon and people were like, that's amazing. Who can do that? And I'm like, I was 5 seconds off. You know, I wasn't enjoying it. And I was mad at myself. No. And so that's the thing. It's like the freedom that Jesus provides us when we are in relationship, that knowing that everything's going to be okay. It's literally, that's the kind of peace that passes all of our earthly understanding. That's what the Bible says. Give me the peace that passes all understanding, because I don't understand anything often that goes around me in the course of a day. It's a lot to absorb for all of us. And so that's what Jesus says. Come to me, all ye who are weary, and I'll give you rest.
I love the one of the translations, I believe it's the, oh my gosh, what is the paraphrase translation? It's escaping me right now, but it says, come to me, you all who are weary and heavy laden and tired of man-made religion.
Pretty much. Yeah. We're going to add that. Yeah.
I was like, when I read that sometimes, I'm like, oh my, I was so weighed down by this man-made religion. And you know what? The thing about it is that was what's so hard to break off, because this whole unworthiness that I fought, the shame that I fought for so many years, of the things that I would do and then try to go back to God. And I didn't realize God was with me the whole time. I was always, you know, kind of just back and forth, like you were saying, in this performance type place. And I wasn't in performance, I was in shame and unworthiness. And there was just this whole back and forth seesaw thing through most of my Christian life, 15 years of my Christian life. And the thing about it is that there's so many people out there that are hurting like this, and they think it's okay because they've always done it. So they don't think there's a better way. And so we're here to say, hey, you can actually, whoever you are, can hear God's voice. He talks to you all the time through all these different, a cornucopia of different ways. He builds this beautiful tapestry and this beautiful puzzle, this beautiful mystery that God is always constantly communicating to you. I mean, Jesus is the Word of God. He can't not speak.
I love that word. It says word. Okay. Well, yeah, that's it. Oh, I love that so much. So, I know in your ministry, right? This is what you do. Can you talk to us a little bit about it? Sterling Harris Ministries. It says right on there, right? You're teaching people to hear the Word of God. You have courses, or what does that look like? How do you help people do this?
So we have a lot of content on our social media, on our Instagram, on our YouTube. I wrote a book, How to Hear God, 10 Ways God Speaks. I also wrote a workbook to go along with it. And it's all activational, step-by-step process. And I wrote it to where a 10-year-old could read it and be hearing God's voice in a deep way in his life every day. And I also wrote it where an 85-year-old person who's been stuck in religion for 50 years can read it, get set free, slay some sacred cows, if you will, and hear God's voice in a deep, abiding way. And the workbook is all activational. All our stuff is step-by-step processes. How do you take a thought captive? We teach a 3-step process. How do you repent? What does that really look like? How do you do that within your mind? We teach a 3-step process. How do you hear God's voice for yourself? We walk you through practical examples, like I was giving earlier, of mental pictures, of words in your mind, a flow of thought, an inner unction or inner impression that you get from God. So these are all ways that you can hear God's voice, and we begin to show you patterns in God's nature, and then you begin to have expectation and look for those patterns, and then you get to discover your own patterns that God is putting together within your own life, because he's trying to develop a love language with all of us. And the key is this book and the things that we teach, it tries to open you up and give you new language definitions and examples where you can start to be on the lookout for God's activity. So we have that book. We have a workbook. We have a quick start activation guide on our website, sterlingharris.org, absolutely free. It says, hear God's voice within 20 minutes or less. Like if you don't have time, if you don't have 20 minutes to hear Jesus' voice, I don't know what to tell you. You ain't that hungry. But let me tell you, it pays to hear God's voice. I can tell you right now, God has increased my business 300% this year. I'm telling you, sometimes it don't make sense, but it does make dollars. For those who are motivated by a little bit of money, I can tell you right now that hearing God's voice will not only change your life, your family life, but it also change your business and work and school life. Yeah. And so we also have, we just released a coaching and mentorship series that you can purchase online. It's like an online e-course on our website. You can purchase that, and I literally coach you for 8 sessions on how to hear God's voice for yourself. And it comes with a book. One version comes with a workbook. You get the activation guide. All that's included. It's a really, really good package. And we did a really, really good job on content and also very, very high production value. Because I was like, look, if we're going to charge somebody to get some videos, they better be like top notch. Like they better take this course and be like really hearing God like awesomely well. And it better cover some good stuff in depth, and it better be to the point. And so we really spent a lot of time, a lot of resource, a lot of money, you know, making it a really, really sound e-course. And then my wife just released her first album. You can get it on Spotify, iTunes, all those different platforms. And her name is Leah Harris. So you just put in Leah Harris, and the name of the album is called Alabaster Flask. And man, it is banging.
What a cool title. I love it. I love it. And I also, the whole time you're telling me about the high production value of the videos and so forth, and I'm like, okay, I know that to be true because before we started to push record here, you're like, Beth, this is a little grainy over here. And I'm, am I in the frame? And you're like, so these are things that you care about. And then you're like, okay, what's the game plan? And I was like, dude, I'm calling an audible. Chill. Right? Like, but it's so funny to me with the, when the people who, you know, we spend time with, and it goes back to what you said, God's love language. He reaches us all so differently. And, you know, your personality versus somebody else's personality. And it's like, just everybody who comes in the course of our journeys, we know that they are thinking something differently than we are, at least in terms of how they arrive at that thought. So it would make sense, it would stand to reason, that we can be talking about the same thing, but my mind might connect to that thing differently than yours does, than the next person does. And so, again, if that's the case, then of course God's like, you know, the creator of us, he kind of knows that's how we roll. And I used to go kicking and screaming in church or wherever else, and I'm like, I have questions. I always have questions. And I said, like, if God knows that I'm sarcastic and maybe a little bit ornery and I would prefer to write, how does he seriously think I can sit here in a booth and say, like, the Apostles' Creed and memorize it, not really mean it? And then just, it just felt so inauthentic to me. And I'm like, wait a minute, if God just wants to be in relationship with us, why can't I relate to him in a way that makes sense, that I want to show up and be in relationship? It's no different than when we get to pick our spouses and our mates in life, right? It's like, I know who I connect with and people that I'm like, I'm not gonna be able to talk to this person. I'm just not. I'm just not. So God's cool with, I think, this is my personal belief system, I think God as our Heavenly Father would want to speak to us in whatever way will get us in relationship with him, because I think it breaks his heart when we're not in communication with him.
What's so funny, Beth, is I often tell people in the book, I say that when you hear the voice of God, it will often sound like the voice of your own conscience, and God will often use vernaculars that you would use. Like, he would use language and he will use context that will be relevant directly to you. Yeah. So sometimes, like in your case, you know, God might sound a little bit more sarcastic to with you than he does with me.
Yeah.
I remember I was telling God the other day, I was like, hey, God, you know, I'm going through some challenges right now, and I know you're with me, and I want to talk to you about this. So I was just talking to him about my beef, because God already knows, so you might as well just bring your beef to him. That's what I was, bring my beef to him. And I said, God, you know, he was telling me what he was doing, and, you know, he gave me some instructions for these flowing thoughts and some mental pictures, and just kind of had a peace and knew he was speaking to me. And I just look up, I just look forward, because I know God's inside of me. And to say, God, you know, I wouldn't have done it like that. I wouldn't have done it like that. I'm just saying, I know you, Jesus. I know you, God. But I wouldn't have done it like that. I'm just telling you. Yeah. And I literally see a picture of Jesus laughing. And he says, I know, but I'm God, Sterling. So is it all right if I do it?
Right. And I love that. It's like on The Chosen, right? The whole show. And I think that that has allowed us to be able to say, I'm not fearful when I talk to God like this, because I don't know about you, but growing up, if I would have said out loud what you just said to me, my mother, my somebody in my life, some adult would have been like, that's irreverent. You have to have reverence to God. You do not speak to him. I'm like, well, I mean, I don't know. I don't know how to talk to him because I'm not that fancy. You know, I'm not that formal. And it was very scary for me a lot of the times. And so I just shut down. And I think that's the sadness, that when people who might be well-intended, when churches or religion that might be very well-intended say things like that to very young, impressionable ears, that it stunts our relationship growth with God. I truly believe that.
I would say that, Beth, and also, where do you see how to be in relationship with God modeled? You see it in your household. That's why revival starts first with you in your own heart, then in your family and your sphere of influence and how you parent your kids and how you relate to your spouse, then in your workplace and in your school life, because those are the people you spend the most time with. And those are the people that really know you the best. And those are the people that you can actually sow into the most. And so I parent now way different than my parents parented, because they went off of a model they saw modeled. I also used to model their relationship with God model, which was, it was church attendance and not relationship.
Yes.
Like, we prayed in my house a little bit before meals or in bed at night, but I never saw my parents reading the Bible. Mm-hmm. I never had them say, hey, let's pray and just you guys tell me what you think God's saying to you.
Right.
That never happened.
Yep.
And so, but I've now walked my parents through those activations and they have heard the Lord for themselves, which is awesome. But I model this for my kids and I model it in a way that's practical. The love of God is practical and the love of God acts. So what do? I model forgiveness. So I'll be like, I've been telling my now 2.5-year-old, I've been apologizing for her when daddy missed it, big or small, since she was probably 2 or 3 days old. Wow. I'm practicing humility and I'm showing her it's okay to miss it. And this is what it looks like to repair relationship when there's either a conflict or there's a shortcoming by either person. And now at 2.5 years old, she can tell me, you know, daddy hurt the feelings, like I hurt her feelings, and she can kind of articulate to me why. Mm-hmm. And I'll tell her, you know, what you did hurt daddy's feelings as well. And we'll come into an agreement. And so there's a thing that you have to teach emotional intelligence. Yes. There's so many times that I saw my parents blow up in front of me and then sweep everything under the rug and they would handle it behind closed doors. But how do you see conflict resolution? How do you know how to resolve conflict in a healthy way if you don't see it modeled? Now, I don't do everything in front of my kids, but a lot of the things that don't have a high cost to them, you know, I will explain to my kids why mommy and daddy had a heated discussion. Yeah. And they've seen me apologize to their mom and apologize to them. And they're seeing their mom do the same thing to me. And they now know how to repair when there's conflict. And now we're teaching her the difference between, yeah, daddy may have hurt your feelings, and I'll apologize and take accountability if I pray about it and I felt like there's a better way to say it. I will say, well, daddy, you know, daddy did pray about it, baby. And I feel like that daddy could have said it a little softer. So I apologize for that. But let's talk about your behavior. Mm-hmm. And when you work it, when you work things like that in a relational context, then people can model it. So you were modeling what you saw modeled, which is this reverent, this religious reverent respect for God, which in their own context, they were walking in the light that they had. God bless them. They're saved, going to heaven, love Jesus. And they were trying to teach you what they had. But the problem is the model they were modeling is not the model that Jesus modeled.
Yes.
That is the underlying. This is not that Sterling knows the best way or that Beth knows the best way. I just model what Jesus models because that's the model that we're all going after.
So good.
So when I see something in my life that doesn't look like Jesus, I submit it to God. And if I need, I'll sit with him about it. I'll get his perspective about it. I'll go to some Christian counseling. I'll take an e-course. I mean, whatever I need to do to rectify that situation and that kind of thinking. And I'll humble myself and realize that I don't have it all figured out. I'm still learning. I'm still growing. And that will always be where we all are. When you think you arrived, congratulations, you're self-deceived.
Yes. So good. Those are such good words and absolutely true. And I think that's all, it's growth and transformation and change. And we are always doing those things, but man, we're a lucky little girl to have you for a dad. I mean, right. Because you're saying like, yep, I hear you, but you're going to hear me too, because that is the bi-directional communication that we're talking about. That's, hey, prophetic.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right. And I asked her, did you have a dream last night? She had a dream. She has this recurring dream for the last like 2 weeks where her and Jesus walk on the beach together. And she doesn't know it, but a beach, you know, a beach is very significant. I've activated a lot of people to hear God's voice. And they also saw a scene of a beach in their minds. And then God, I said, well, what do you think God's saying to you? Well, a beach is a place of rest. The sand on the sea is actually like a Bible verse reference, which a lot of people don't know. It says that God's thoughts towards you are more than all the sand in the world, like all the sand in the ocean. And then the sun, people will see the sun. The sun often stands for metaphorical. God loves puns. So S-U-N really means S-O-N. And then the water stands for the water of the Holy Spirit, the washing of the water of the Word. And then a beach is somewhere where you can rest. And God's saying, rest in me. So in that situation, when somebody sees that image, God might be saying, focus on, you know, the life-giving sun, the S-O-N. you know, I'm going to, please come relax in me. And then I want you to know the thoughts that I think about you is more than all the sand that you see on this beach. And then I want to wash you with the water, the word, and the Holy Spirit. That might be something that God is kind of saying. I've seen God use that image, and that's kind of the inkling, for lack of better terms, that people get.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Which is why I love going to the beach so much. Now I love it doubly. It's exactly right. Thank you so for everything. Would you want to leave us with today? That's what I really want to ask. You mentioned all this activations. Is there anything that you want to share further on that?
I'd like to do an activation with you real quick, Beth, and that way the audience can go ahead and follow in and hopefully, you know, drop some comments, send you emails about what they experience. And so what we've been talking about is the three categories: the inner visual, which is the mental pictures that God uses to show you different things. There's the inner auditory, which is the flow of thoughts, and then there's the unctions and the different kinetic feelings that you can get. So I'd just like for you to close your eyes, Beth, and I just want you to say, Jesus, I thank you that I have eyes to see.
That I have eyes to see.
Ears that hear. And a heart that's open to receive.
And a heart that's open to receive.
Holy Spirit.
Have your way.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Okay, so keep your eyes closed. That's the little kind of, you just kind of, there's like a pipe of God, the flow of God's voice like water. And we're just kind of, we've been unclogging that pipe the whole time. So you can just whoop. So the voice of the Holy Spirit can just drop right into your heart. So I just want you to say, Beth, I just want you to make a statement to Jesus, and then he's going to speak to you. And then I want you to explain what you feel like he's saying to you. And you're going to make a statement, and I just want you to say, Jesus, I love you, and then listen. So say it, Jesus, I love you.
Jesus, I love you.
Now just listen. Okay, Beth. So, did you sense anything? Did you get anything? A lot of people will get I love you too back, like they get a flowing thought. What did you experience?
That's so crazy. That was exactly it, and it was almost like instantaneous. I said, Jesus, I love you, and I said, I love you too. That was it, and then I kept listening because that's usually where I'm like, okay, well, that's a wrap. But I continued to listen, and I heard, I always have, and I always will.
Oh, come on. And did it sound like the voice of your own conscience, but it came with a flow and a peace and a wisdom to him? What did it feel like or sound like to you?
Yeah, that's the interesting thing. And that's the differentiator, which, okay, partly I was like, you know me, I was like, I'm going to give this thing a whirl. But here's what happened, because it was me. And this is why I think so many people have a hard time with it. Yes, but it was the flow and the pace that was so much different than what my normal thoughts are. Exactly. Because my normal thoughts are like all over. But when I heard right away, like there was no hesitation, I love you too. So I'm like, in my mind, I was also like, well, that must be me. And then the longer I listened, that wasn't me. It was, you know, I'm always here. It felt like I'm always here. So if you can just slow down long enough to hear what else I got to say to you. So thank you. That's wow. So I literally had no idea. Well, thank you so much. So good.
We're going to do one more, Miss Beth, and then we're going to wrap it up. Okay.
All right.
So I just want you to close your eyes.
Okay.
Just get still and just say, Jesus.
Jesus.
How do you see me?
How do you see me?
And now just listen. Okay, Miss Beth, what did you experience?
That's crazy. well, I guess maybe I should probably just partake in this a little more often than I do. I didn't hear anything. I saw it. That was weird. I saw it that time.
Well, actually, you asked Jesus a question. You said, Jesus, how do you see me? So oftentimes, I don't prompt people like this because I don't want to, like, people be like, oh, well, he's kind of subliminally telling them something. oftentimes you're asking Jesus the question, how do you see me? And oftentimes a high level of time, a high percentage of time, people get mental pictures in this step.
This is weird.
This activation.
I got goosebumps. Now I'm just putting all these correlations together. So here's the, I didn't hear a peep. I saw, it was like a movie reel and it was flying through and it was like me as a little girl and just all of like the highlight reels. And at the end, I just saw like a giant hug.
That's awesome.
And also just Sterling, seriously, like, how do you know how to do all this? Wow. To me, my takeaway right now is before I became such a solid believer in Jesus, I was the first person to use my sarcasm in a bad way, like a negative way, as self-preservation. And I would, in the past, my former me would have found this to be like very much like woo-woo, cliche, I'm not doing that, that's a bunch of hocus pocus, right? I would have been like, whatever, man. That's what I would have said. And now, because I know everything that you shared on this episode is so true, whether you've got stuff or money or blah, 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 fill in the blank, it doesn't matter. You are still never going to be able to have enough to fill the void that is Jesus in that relationship with him. It just doesn't work. So now my skepticism is gone. And I'm telling you, I was like, well, wow, now that I'm like a nice person over here, that works.
Wow. And then so Beth, God used your brain to show you a movie reel.
Yeah.
But see, what did you feel like he was saying to you in that? Because you actually probably did hear something.
Yeah.
Because you probably had some thoughts about what you, at the end, what you're saying. So what did you feel like he was saying to you?
Yeah.
In that?
I felt like he was saying, I've been with you the entire time through your entire life's journey. And I have been with you from every step of the way, like from the time that you were little and didn't really know better. And during the years when you knew better and still chose otherwise. And now today I'm like proud of you in a way, you know, like I'm with you through your growth and transformation to become closer to me.
Wow. And then, and then you got a kinetic feeling that I've seen people get before, which is like a kinetic hug.
Yeah.
And you actually feel like the Father is hugging you, which is amazing. So you actually experience all three categories. And one category, which is the inner auditory, you didn't know it until you just ask yourself, okay, what do I feel? What are you saying here, God? And then it's like an impression that you're getting, like a download or an upload. And people are like, is that subtle? I'm like, yeah, bro, that's God's voice. Like, you're waiting for this big booming voice, but I mean, we're made in God's image. How much communication do you do a day internally with yourself? Right.
Right.
A ton, right?
Nonstop.
And so just real quick, Beth, with you, I was praying for you and trying to hear things for you. And really what I did, I saw things in my mind. And so I saw Wonder Woman. And I felt like God was saying that she's really powerful. And I saw the word powerhouse, like in my mind, in like white block letters. And then I saw you as like maybe a 5 to 8 year old little girl. And I just heard the Lord say through a flowing thought, she's a girl who loves her daddy. Mm-hmm. And I just thought that was like so sweet that he saw you as that little girl who like loves her daddy. And so I just really, that's kind of what I experienced when I was praying about how God sees you and you know, how much he loves you. But I really, the powerhouse and the Wonder Woman thing was kind of funny.
Wow. Sterling, thank you so much. This is fun. Like, I could just talk to you all day. I want you to move from Texas up north to Michigan. You're in Texas, right? Yeah. Yeah. So again, we cannot be more grateful for the time that you have given us here today on the show, Remorselessly Biblical. It's named, by the way, the word remorseless means without guilt in spite of wrongdoing. So one of the things that I always share with our viewers and listeners is, you know what? Live without guilt in spite of what we've done wrong, because that price has been paid. Because God is not finished with us. And so if we are going to stay stuck in feeling badly about what we did like yesterday or when we were 15 or, you know, 5 minutes ago, that's not where the story ends. Keep going. Keep going. So we're thankful for you. We're grateful for you. Appreciate it.
Thank you, Miss Beth. God bless you.
Yes, you too. Okay, guys, how about that? I have no idea what even just happened. No, that's not true. I really do. But I feel like I love when people come on the show and I have no idea that's what's going to happen at the end of it. When somebody says, okay, Miss Beth, first of all, I love that he calls me Miss Beth. He's very respectful and makes me feel young. Close your eyes. And he told me to close my eyes. You guys saw that. And it wasn't weird, which is weird in and of itself. If you guys know me well, like I'm hoping you do by this point, slowing down is not something I do well, admittedly. And actually, after we stopped recording, Sterling was so kind and gracious, and he spent some time with me and said, you know, I really feel like Jesus is inviting you to be in a more ongoing conversation with him, to be more intimate with him, to go deeper with him. And those are things, if I am honest, that I oftentimes don't do well because I am always in motion. So I promise Sterling, and I promise you guys as well, I'm going to do that. I'm going to go right to his website after this, sterlingharris.org. The activation guide, the free activation guide, and I'm going to practice that for like the next 10 days. I know that to be true. Practicing anything, no matter what you want to do, if you want to run a race, if you want to learn a new skill, whatever it is, if you practice it, you get better at it. So if we really want to be closer to Jesus, let's practice it. Thank you, as always, for being here. If I can help in any way, I am at bethfisher.com, personal and professional development coaching. I have workbooks and all that stuff too. I don't know if you guys know, I think I've told you a couple times, I am a certified holistic coach. I do love coaching people to find out who they truly are, to press it into the things that God has already given them, you, what you're made of, right? Your likes, your dislikes, your preferences, the way that God made you so that you can show up in the world like Sterling is and be who he made you to be. So if I can help in any way, reach out to me, and I will see you guys next week. Thanks for being here. Okay, guys, how amazing is Sterling, right? And here's the thing. He overcame adversity by choice, by sheer decision-making skills. And that, I love when he shared all of the things that he has gone through in his life and saying, you know what? It's not about money. It's not about fame. It's not about the fact that I played in the NFL. It's not about the fact that I made a bunch of money or was around people. It's the fact that I fell on my face like most humans do at some point during the course of their journeys. And I had a decision to make. And I picked myself back up. I learned to hear God's voice, and now I can't stop hearing it and teach other people how to hear it too, because he knows why it's so important, you guys. So as you often hear me say in the show, experience always trumps whatever's on your resume. So after a bunch of lived experiences, if you're going through something right now that is really hard, keep the faith, because guess what? Eventually you're going to be on the other side of it, and you will be able to know that what you learned during your time of trial and adversity, it's going to help somebody else if you choose to show up and do that. So as always, thank you for being here. I love that you're here with me every week on the Remorseless Podcast. Please subscribe to it. Please rate it, only if you like it. Please go to my website, bethfisher.com. If I can help in any way, you can find all sorts of resources out there, as well as personal and professional development coaching. Okay, guys, until next time, keep being remorseless on your journeys. Peace.